peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Long gospel reading, and we got a lot going on in there. So let's get started. So the disciples asked Jesus, "Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Right? Well, maybe he'll say, Peter, yeah, that guy. He's got it going on. Even though the Mount of Transfiguration, which happened in chapter 17, Scripture says he didn't know what he was talking about when he said, "Let's build three altars, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Yeah, we know a bit about Peter, don't we? Jesus doesn't reference any of the disciples. Instead, he grabs a little kid. "Come here, kid." And he says, "Unless you change, become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We may have heard this expression, faith like a child, right? You've heard this? Have faith like a child. Which we tend to think of as, you know, their kids are simple. They don't need a whole lot to be happy. You know, growing up, give them a stick and put a face on it and they'll, you know, pretend it's a doll or whatever. That's not what we're talking about when Jesus is saying, become like little children. What he is saying is, look, little children are not in control. They're not the boss. Especially in those days, right? Children are a part of the family and it's a very good thing. But you don't really become a productive member of the household until you grow up. And so, Jesus is saying, become like little children who have to expect all of their nourishment and all of their protection coming from somewhere else, not providing it for themselves. So it's a total lack of pride being a little child. "And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." But if anyone causes these little ones who believe in me to sin, another translation is stumble, or to be scandalized, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck. A millstone. Think of the mill, right? It's a grinding thing. And you put wheat or whatever on there, and it's this huge rock. You tie that around somebody's neck who's causing these little ones to stumble, and then what do? You throw them into the lake, throw them into the sea, where they will go down to the very depths to die. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. Then we get into this weird section where Jesus talks about cutting your hand and your foot and gouging out your eyes and stuff like that. What are we talking about here? Well, he just told us. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Sin is not good. It might temporarily seem like it's a quick fix. It feels good in the moment. But Jesus says, no, cut it off. Sin is serious. Serious enough to maybe even prevent us from entering into the kingdom. And instead being thrown into this eternal fire. But the theme, the common theme that's going throughout, he's going to get back to it here in Matthew chapter 18. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. So we're coming back to these little ones, right? The little ones. The humble. See to it that you don't look down on any of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see my face, the face of my Father in heaven. Their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Does this make sense? There are angels before the Father on behalf of the little ones. As an aside, kind of off topic, I guess, my sister would have nightmares when she was little. And so I would go in and we would pray. And I read this passage, so I told her, I said, that you know God has angels there for you who are bringing these things right to God the Father. You've got a direct line. You've got a bat phone to the Father. And when it rings, He always hears everything you say. What a comfort that is. And it doesn't stop, even though you may grow up, quote unquote, grow up, whatever that means. Have I grown up, honey? No, don't say anything. We won't go there. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? So here Jesus is starting to, he seems to go from, okay, we got children, and then we got, you know, causing them to sin or to stumble, and then suddenly we were talking about cutting off body parts or not or something like that, and then we're suddenly talking about sheep wandering off. And then we go right into following this passage of the sheep. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Okay, wait a minute. We got children, we got millstones, we've got sheep, we've got brothers who sin against us. What is going on in all of this? We've got kind of a law gospel thing going on. Jesus said sin is serious, right? Cut off the part. Don't cause little ones to stumble who believe in Him. The sheep that wanders off, that's not a good thing. To wander off, to have the shepherd come chasing after you. I mean, it's good that to be found, don't get me wrong, but wandering off is not a good thing. And then we move into this section, if your brother sins against you. This is the wandering off. There's a specific sin that should have been cut off, but wasn't. And now you see it in somebody who sins against you. So if someone sins against you, call your best friend and tell them really how bad you feel about this. No, that's not what it says. Right? Tell everybody else except that person who sinned against you what they did wrong. Pastor, can you believe what they did to me? Have you spoken to them about it? Well, no, they won't listen. So what do you want me to do? You go to the one who sinned against you and talk. Because we're cutting off sin. We're cutting it off. And it's painful and it hurts. And it's not fun and it's not easy. But why are we doing it? Because those that go astray need to be brought back. So I guess, in a way, to tie it all together, I was, oh man, how old was I? 9, I guess, 9 years old. And me and the neighbor kid across the street thought there was some cartoon we wanted to be like. So we're in the alley, and it was this cartoon about baseball. So we pick up some rocks. And we see some windows. We start throwing rocks and start busting windows. And we keep busting windows and we keep busting windows. And this is my next door neighbor. Like they wouldn't find out or something, right? Busting the windows, busting the windows. Next thing we hear is, hey! Oh, I forgot, my little brother was there too. And we bolt, except my little brother. Sticks around, and I don't know where I wandered off for a little while. I came back home, and there's my brother, and he doesn't look at me. kind of playing with something. He's in the house. And my mom grabs me, right? And I got a good spanking that I definitely earned. And it hurt. And I know my mom didn't want to do it. But she did it anyways. Because she wanted me to repent. I felt the weight of the law on my rear end. Because she wanted me to repent. Because this type of sin, thinking I can get away with maybe busting windows, could grow and fester in my heart into who knows what. We are here today gathered because we are children of God, who sometimes puff up our chests, maybe not to God, but maybe to other people. Say, you know, I got it pretty well under control. I got this, Jesus. Jesus wants us to be humble. He wants us to recognize that anything that we've got, it's His provision. It's His gift. Oh, and anything that we lack, let's go that way too. It's not because God is mad at you or because you're less faithful or something like that. In times of need, we are confronted with humility because then we have to ask for help. And man, I hate asking for help if I can't help it. It's humbling. And it's hard. But we are children here today. Because we're not the boss. We're not in control. We have been changed by Christ. Remember what Jesus says here. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come. There is sin in the world. But woe to the man through whom they come. Jesus Christ on the cross, the very perfect Son of God, became the image of sin. Woe to that man because of the sin in this world. Woe to him because he has taken your sin upon himself, becoming the ultimate example of real and true humility and love. This is God, the Word made flesh, who can create anything, who has power over the wind and the waves, who is able to raise people from the dead. He could do anything that he wants, and instead he goes to the cross humbly. The most powerful man on earth dying. Humbled. Even to death on a cross. And it's as if someone took a millstone and tied it around his neck. It carried him down to the very depths of hell itself, taking with him your sin. And he buries it. He makes it as far as the east is from the west because of his love and his humility for you. And he rose, showing that death has no power, showing that sin no longer has any dominion over us. We are changed, made children of God, just as in his image. And it's a humbling thing to have to ask for forgiveness, but it's what God wants. And it's a humbling thing to tell your friend who sins against you that they have sinned. And when we do, the point of all of this is to point to Jesus Christ on the cross to say, although there is sin, and then we recognize and let our pride deflate, it is buried with Jesus Christ. That's why we talk to each other about sin, is so that it is buried. And that there is love. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, is here with us today. How did we start the service? I stood here and I said, in the name. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name. So being a child of God, having the forgiveness of Christ, receiving his humble work on our behalf, is not something that will come down the road. It is here today for you right now. And if there is a sin that is in your mind that you think you cannot let go, it is paid for. It is taken this morning by Jesus Christ, who is with us now. And you are forgiven, even a child of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise.